Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shkolim. We're doing Daf Tezvav today. We're beginning towards the bottom of Yud Dalet Omid Beis by Halacha Gimel, the third Mishnah. And we begin reading the Mishnah as follows. Arba chosamos hayu b'mikdash. There were four chets, there were four receipts that were available in the Beis HaMikdash. We mentioned yesterday that people would go to the area in the Beis HaMikdash where they could purchase these receipts for the various nesachim, either the flour, the wine, or the oil that they needed to bring with their korban. And then they would take the receipt that they got and bring it to a different area of the Beis HaMikdash where they'd actually go and get those nesachim. So there were four different types of receipts that you could get. Arba chosamos b'mikdash. What were they written on them? What types of receipts they were? V'kos v'aleim, egel, zohar, gedi, v'chote. You would get either the nesachim that are associated with an egel, a calf from the cow family, or an ayel, which is from the ram family, or that's the zohar, or a gedi, that is a goat, a baby goat, or v'chote, this will be for a person who is a mitzora. They also have to bring certain libations along with their korbanos. So these are the four different chits that you could get if you were to purchase them, and this would take care of all of the potential libations. On the other hand, Ben Azi Omer, there were actually five, Chamisha Hayu, because he added on one. And he also said, V'aramayis Kosov Aleim. They were written in Aramaic and not in Hebrew, because they wanted the people to know what they were purchasing, and the people didn't speak Hebrew necessarily. They much more spoke the vernacular language. So it would be Lahabdil that if you went to a store and they gave it to you in Hebrew and you didn't understand Hebrew, they would give it to you in English. So therefore, on the chits, it said the English names. Now, we actually write them over here in the Mishnah in Hebrew, except for one. So it says Ego, Dechar, the Dalet and the Zayin interchangeable, that's Zohar, which means the Ayel, Gedi, and Chote, Dal, V'Chote, Oshir. So there were two different Mitzorah ones, according to Ben Azai. One is for a poor person, a Dal is a poor person, who brings a different set of korbanos than a rich person. A rich person brings three animal korbanos. However, a poor person will only bring one animal and two bird offerings. So therefore, there is a difference in the korbanos that they bring, and therefore, they have different libation needs. According to Ben Azai, they either bring the dal chote or the asher chote's chit over and get the appropriate corresponding nesachim. The Gemara says, ego mishamish imniske bakar. If you get the chit that says on it ego, which is the calf, you use it for all different cow korbanos that are brought, whether they're male, female, young, or old. Gedolim, Uktanim, Zacharim, Nekevos. That one chit, it's one and the same nesachim for all different types of cow korbanos that you bring. The second one that said on a Gedi or Dochar, Mishamish Imniske Tzon. That one is used for all of the Tzon. Now, Tzon means goats and sheep, but there is an exception to this, but we'll see the exception in a second. So if you take the chit that says on it the Gedi or the Dochar, you take that's for large or small, gedolim uktanim, zecharim nekevos, male or female, with one exception, that the ayil, which is the ram, which is a sheep that's in its second year of life, ayil mishamish imniske elin bovad. That's a separate, specific libation for a second or older ram, and that chit will get you a different set of nesachim than the gedi chit would. And then finally, the chote is mishamish imniske sholosh meimah shel metzora. According to the Tanakhama, there's only one type of libations that you get. If you're a Mitzora, that's assuming that whether you're rich or poor, you're going to take the same Shalosh Behemo Shal Mitzora type of a chit. If you're poor, then you'll use a different chit of the already used chits, the Gedi chit, because that will be all that they need. They're only bringing one animal from Tzon, and therefore they could use the Gedi chit if they weren't going to need the other animals that Asher Mitzora brings. We'll explain this more in the Gemara. Now, Mishum Mavakish Nesachim, if a person needs Nesachim for his korbanos, so the first thing they would do is, as I said, go over to the area of the Beis HaMikdash where they sell these chits. So, Holich Lo Eitzel Yochanan, they would go to Yochanan. Yochanan, we said, was the administrator, the Mamuna, in charge of that. And Shum Mamuna Alech Hosamas, he was in charge, or his subsequent generations, the person that was known as Yochanan, or the person in charge of the Hosamas, would go and oversee these people purchasing. They would give money in over here to get a chit. The Nosin Lomos, the people would give the money, and they would get back this receipt, this chit from him. Then they would take this chit, Obola Eitzel Achia. They would go over to Achia. He was the Mamuna, Shum Mamuna ala Nesachim. He was in charge of actually distributing, dispensing the actual Nesachim. They would give the chit that they got, this receipt that they got, Benosin Lachosim, to Achia, or his designee, or Makabim Menu Nesachim. And in turn, they would go get from him the actual libations that they needed to bring along with their carbon. Now, That's what the individual people would do. At the end of the day, Yochanan and Achia would get together and reconcile the books. La'erev bo'en zeh etzozeh. Achia and Yochanan would get together at the end of the day. Achia would say, this is how many chits I got, and this is why I gave out this many of the libations. And Umakabel connected most. And Yochanan would show him how much money he got, and the two should reconcile. So if there were 100 different chits that were given out, and that was a certain amount of nisachim, there should have been a corresponding equal amount of money for those. Now, let's say there was, the books were off. In Pachasu, if unfortunately there was less money in the kitty than the amount of chits that had been given out, so then poor Yochanan had to make it up from his own pocket. In Pachasu lo, Yochanan had to make it up. Yishalim Yochanan mideso. He paid out of his own pocket because Yad Hektish alo Yonah. Hektish always wins. However, Bimhosiru, if there was extra money, somehow somebody did not go and he paid for the chit, but didn't go and use the Nusachim, so there was less Nusachim used, so there was more money, so poor Yochanan doesn't get to keep it. In Mosiru, Hosiru Hektish, Hektish gets the benefit, because again, the rule is, Shiat Hektish Halo Yonah, Hektish always wins. Now, Mishav HaChosomo, there were always going to be people that lose their chit. So what do they do? So Mamtin Loada Erev, they wait till the end of the day, and they see if, in fact, the reconciliation is correct, except for their lost chit, so then they can get it then. In Matzalo, Kidei HaChosomo, if they see, for example, they're out a certain amount of the Nesachim, so that's exactly corresponding to what he said, I lost my chit, so then, no, slow, they will give him his amount of Nesachim that he needed, and everything would be good. But in Lav, and there was no discrepancy, so then lawyer knows, no, sorry, buddy, they didn't give him anything, and he'd have to go and rebuy it again. And in order to prevent cheaters from going and buying, let's say, these chits when the prices were low, and then using them when the prices were high, so they're trying to take advantage of the Beis HaMikdash, so these chits were only good on the day that they were written for. So they, so to say, stamped them, and they were only good for that day. So you couldn't save them for a rainy day. If somebody were to find one, they wouldn't be able to go and use it, because that day, obviously, everybody would be looking for a lost chit, and they couldn't save it for a later day, because they were time stamped and they're only good on that day. The Gemara will discuss this more. Now the Gemara says, then the Kirsa that we have is V'chaben Azai, but the Gra changes around and says Ula ben Azai. According to Ben Azai, there were five different chits. There was a separate chit for the Mitzorah that was a poor person, a Dal, as different than the Mitzorah that was an Usher. How come? Ula ben Azai, Chote Dal Loma. How come he had a special chit for the Chote Dal? The Tanakama only had one chit for a regular Mitzorah, didn't differentiate between rich and poor. How come? So Gemara says, according to Ben Azai, Hoyamevi Lugo Imo. According to Ben Azai, the person would go and bring the oil that was needed to put on the Bohen Yodo HaYamonis, the Bohen Raglo HaYamonis, and Tnuch Ozen HaYamonis. There was a certain oil application that had to go onto his right thumb, his right big toe, and his right ear. So he would go, and according to Ben Azai, he would go and purchase that from the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, that's why there had to be a special chit for the poor person. He had one carbon, which was a gedi, and he then needed to buy an extra amount of oil for the applications on his right big toe, his right thumb, and his right ear. So he needed a special chit for that, because it wasn't the regular gedi chit, it was a little bit more. As opposed to Biram Ki Rabbanan Mevi Gedi. According to Rabbanan, no, he would just use the gedi chit, and he would bring his own a little bit of oil to put on his right toe, right thumb, and his right ear. He'll bring that from his own house to save a little bit of extra money. Therefore, the Tanakhama said, the only people that would need a chit that were a mitzvah were the rich people, or if a poor person wanted to bring the rich person's korbanos, because that included the entire three behemoths that he brought, plus the extra little bit amount of oil that was needed for the thumbs, right thumb, big toe, and the ear, the right ear, because if you're already paying for these large amounts of nesachim, so the little bit extra you're not going to be stingy on. That's the way the Tikkun Chatatin explains it. Now, Niske Rachel Ma. How much is the amount of nesachim that you use for a Rachel? A Rachel is a female sheep. This is the adult, more than 1 year old, female sheep, also known as a ewe, E-W-E. So we can learn from our Mishnah, Mimad Tanina. What we learned in our Mishnah is Gedi, we said the Gedi, the goat, the young goat, is Mishamesh Nichse Tzon. It is used for all of the Tzon, Gedolim Ktanim Zuchar Menekevos, for both the large and small, meaning before 1 year and after 1 year, those are the adults, and whether it's male or female. So this ewe would fit into the category of a Gedi. Therefore, we can answer from our Mishnah that the Nesachim that are brought with an adult female sheep are the same as brought for the male young goat. Now, this is based upon the following pasuk, which we darshin out each of the words in the pasuk. It says, this is what you do for the shor, all the shor are one. All the ayil are one. Ayil is, again, a ram, a male sheep, that is more than 1 year old. And then the pasuk ends, olaseh bakvasim oboizim. And you have a kid, that's the seh, that is either for the keves or the izim, for the sheep or for the goats. Now, how do we dash this? Why did it say lashor ho'echad? It said for a single ox. What does that mean? Loma ne'mar. Why did it say a single one? So Gemara says, magich lo chilek. The chiddush over here is that there is no differentiation between large and small male or female cow family, ox family. Magich lo chilek beniske egel leniske shor. No difference between a young egel, that's a calf that is less than 1 year old, versus the adult shor, which is more than 1 year old. Shayabadin, I might have thought that if we make a distinction amongst the sheep, between a sheep that's less than 1 year old and the male ram that is more than 1 year old, there's a distinction. Shayabadin, I would have said a kavachomer. Ben hatzon ton kinesachim. Ben abakar ton nesachim. The sheep and goats require nesachim, that's tzon, and the ben bakar and the cow family requires nesachim. So I would have said, imotzon shechilik ben niske keves leniske ayil, if we make a distinction between a 1 year old sheep and a greater than 1 year old ram, which is the ayil, so then we should do the same thing. We turn to tesvav and aleph. I would have said, lekach nachlok ben niske egel leniske shor, that we should make a differentiation between a less than 1 year old calf and a greater than 1 year old shor. So therefore, Tamalomer, Kochi is el Ashar Hoechad. No, there's one din for all the Shor. Ashar Hoechad. Magi Shulchilik, Beniske Egal, Liniske Shor. We don't differentiate between a young cow and an older cow. So then, why does it say, O La'ayo, Loma Namar? Oh, so that's to teach us exactly this. I would have said, Shoya Badin, Imotzono Shulchilik, Beniske Ben Shor, Liniske Ben Shnosayim. If we make a distinction between a first year and a second year, Lakach Nechlok, Beniske Shnosayim, Liniske Shalosh. So then we should go and make a distinction between a second year and a third year as well. Once you show me that by the rams, by the male sheep, that we go make a distinction between a less than 1 year to more than 1 year, so maybe we should make a distinction between a 2 year to a 3 year. Lakach Nechlok, Beniske Shnosayim, Liniske Shalosh. That's why it says, Tamadom. All the rams, once they're above 1 year old, really 1 year old is really 13 months, older than 13 months, in that 12th to 13th month, it's called a palgus, which means plag, means part, half. It's neither the first year nor second year. But once you get above 13 months, so it's called the second year ram, we don't distinguish between a second year ram, a third year ram, a fourth year ram. That's why it says, O Tamadomar, O Ayelo Echad. That's why that is done, to tell us that all the rams, once you're beyond 13 months, all have the same nesach. Then it says, O laseh bakivosim, lomanemar. Why does that tell me that you have the kid, the seh, that is amongst the sheep? So why is that? Shoyabadin, I would have said, if you differentiate between the male less than 1 year to more than 13 months, second year ram, you should do the same thing by the sheep, by the females. In motzono shechilik beniske keves leniske ayil, if we make a distinction between the young male sheep versus the adult ram, so we do the same thing by the females. That's what I would have thought. So if you have a 1 year old or less female sheep, so then you should have a certain nesachim, and it would be different for the ewe that's more than 13 months old. So I would have thought, lekach nachluk biniske kizbul leniske rachel. That's why Talmud Lomar ola sebak vasim. That comes to teach us that no, the pasuk tells us that for the females, the nesachim are the same, whether it's 1 year old or 2 year olds or 3 year olds. Then why does it say ola sebak vasim? Obaizim, it added on obaizim, the same thing applies by the goats, loma nemar, because I would have said, it was a kavachom, shoybedin. I would have said, imatzono shechilek beniske keves leniske ayil, since we make a distinction amongst the sheep, between the less than 1 year to more than 13 months, the second year, lekach nachlok beniske gidil leniske taish, we should do the same thing by the goats, and have a male goat that's less than 1 year should be different than a male goat that is more than 13 months in the second year. Therefore, I would have thought, lekach nachlok beniske gidil leniske taish, tamad loma, that's why it says obaizim, and therefore he that comes to teach this comparison between the male and the younger and older goat family, even if they're male, that they all come with just shlosha lugin, as opposed to the ayil, which is going to be a larger amount. It's going to be four lugin, and therefore this comes to teach us that no, there is no distinction between the males in the goat family. There's only a distinction in the males in the sheep family between the less than 1 year old ram and the more than 13 month, the second year, third year, fourth year ram. So that is what this pasuk comes to teach us. Then we quote the Mishnah, which says, "Hashem Hayom Katzav V'Chulei." that on these chits, these chosamos, they stamp the date so that people couldn't use it for a different day. So Gemara says, wait a second, how's that going to help you? Let's say you put on it Monday. So then, haga ba'atzmcha, go look at it yourself. Shezieg also ayam. So what's the guy to do? He's going to wait till next Monday. If it says on it Monday, so just wait till next Monday and use it then. How does it help that you put the date on it? So Gemara says, no. She mishma, your cause of love. They didn't just write the date, they wrote the mishma. There were 24 mishmaros. So they would write on it, let's say Monday, and they'd also write the mishmar of Yonadav. So therefore, they would know that, oh, you're bringing it in the next week's mishmar. So therefore, that can't be right. And therefore, it's a forged or a found document. And therefore, you're not going to be able to use that chosamos, that chosam, on the following week. So therefore, they wrote that down. Gemara says, still, Hagei Batzuka, go check it out yourself. Shezieg also HaMishmor. So the guy will wait 24 weeks until that Mishmor comes back, and he'll bring it on Monday, the next time Yonadav goes. So it'll be 24 weeks later, and he'll use it then, and he'll cheat then. So Gemara says, no, Shem Hayom, Shem Shabbos, Shem Chodesh, Shem Yerkos Olam. No, they wrote on it multiple things. They didn't just write on it Monday. They wrote Monday, which was the X day of the month of Nisan, let's say. So they wrote, today's Yud Ches Nisan, when I'm dictating this, so they would write on it that it is Wednesday, Yud Ches Nisan, and therefore it was in the Mishmar of Yonadav, and this way there's almost no chance that that will ever come up again in that way, that it will be used a year later, the same Mishmar, the same day, the same everything. So therefore, there is no concern that a Ramai will find this, a cheater will find this, and go and use it inappropriately. And therefore, Afilu Rotzi Lezayik, even if the person wants to cheat over here, Eino Motzi Lezayik, he won't be able to go and cheat because it's just unlikely that that will come out. Now we do Halacha Dalet, the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Shnei Lishkos Hayu B'Mikdash. There were two rooms, two Lishkos offices, that were in the Mikdash. One of them was known as Achas Lishkas Chashoyim. One was known as the room or the chamber that was for Chashoyim. Chashoyim is somebody who does things in a very quiet fashion, in a discreet fashion. So this was known as the Lishkas Chashoyim. And then they would give in that room Nostim Bitseser. People would bring stock into that room. They would put it in a very quiet way, in what not a big public fanfare. And people needing stock could take it from there in a very quiet way, in a very Bechavadik way. This is the source of Matan Bitseser, that you give a gift, you give stock in private. And this was the Lishkas Chashoyim. Tomorrow we'll explain this more. And the second Lishka that we're referring to here is Achas Lishkas HaKelim. This was a place where people could donate Kelim. This was the room that they would donate Kelim. Now, what were they used for? So Lishkas HaShoyim, this room that we call the Lishkas HaShoyim, that was used, Yirei Chait, Nostel Misocha B'Chashai, people that wanted to give in the most proper way. When you give tzedakah, ideally you should give it in a way that you don't know and they don't know who gave the tzedakah. So this is the ideal way to give tzedakah, Matan B'Seiser. The Rambam classifies this as the most perfect way to give tzedakah. And therefore, a person was a Yorei Chait, so he would give it in this fashion. He would go into this room, and nobody knew if you're going in there to take or to give. So the presumption would be that you're going into the gift, so nobody would be embarrassed to go in there. And he would go in there and put the money into the tzedakah box without big fanfare. V'aniyim b'nei tovim, and the Elicha Aniyim, the high quality aniyim would go in there, and they would be able to go and take money from there in a very bechavadika way. And that's why it was called Lishkas Chashoyim. It was done all in a very discreet fashion. What was Lishkas HaKelim? What was that? If somebody would donate a kli, a utensil, to the Beis HaMikdash, so they would put it in this room, Zorko L'socha. They would put it into this room. I don't think they had to throw it in there, Zorko. It means they would place it in this room. The Achas L'shloshim Yom, and once every 30 days, they would check to see what was donated. HaGizborin posted or saw. They would go and see what types of utensils had been donated to the Beis HaMikdash. So it depends. If the people donated Kelim that they actually needed in the Beis HaMikdash, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash, so they would use them for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. They would take these physical tools. Somebody donated a screwdriver, so they would use this screwdriver in the Beis HaMikdash. They needed a screwdriver, manichin or so, and they would use it for that. Bashar, somebody donated something that the Beis HaMikdash doesn't need. They donated a plow. The Beis HaMikdash doesn't need a plow. They donated a lawnmower. So then, Hashar Nimkarim, the Beis HaMikdash would sell it, and they would take the profits, or demayan, any money that they got for these items. Noflin, now the gear that we have, is Lelishkas Lebedekabais. It means they would go for Bedekabais. It would be used for a general upkeep fund of the Beis HaMikdash. Mar starts off and says, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Nachman, Habu Parnosin. These two great rabbis, Yaakov Ridi and Yitzchok Bar Nachman, they were parnosim. This is where we get the word of parnos, as somebody that supports the tzibur. So they were great leaders of the tzibur. V'havun yavinun l'Rabbi Chama, avoy the Rabbi Hoshaya dinar. And they would give their tzedakah money to this person, Rabbi Chama, who was the father of Rabbi Hoshaya. They would give him their tzedakah money. And the Tiklin Charitin points out, he didn't need this money. So, Shu lo hayatzarich, he didn't need this stock of money, but they gave the stock of money to him with the knowledge that he would go, Wu yoiv le lecharonin, and he would go give it to other people. So people that were too embarrassed to go and take stock of money directly from the Parnassim wouldn't be embarrassed to take it from this person, this Rabbi Chama, because he wasn't known as being the stocker dispenser. He was seemingly a taker of tzedakah, but he did it in a chashoy, in a very discreet, proper way. So people would think that Rabbi Chama was the one getting the tzedakah, and then Rabbi Chama would go give it out to other people. But he didn't need the tzedakah money himself. Likewise, Rabbi Zechariah, this Rabbi Zechariah, he was chasna, he was the son-in-law of the Rabbi Levi, and Hayu Akol Melizin Olav, that's the gears that we have in the Tiklin Charitin, and others, they say it should be Malis and Laz, that's they cast aspersions at him, that this Rabbi Zechariah was taking tztaka money, Armin Delo Tzarech, who knows it, he doesn't need it, he's a rich guy, and he's taking tztaka money. However, Min de Domach, when he passed away, they checked into his funds and they saw a Badikin, Ba'ashkechin Dahabim Mefaleg Le Lechoronin. That instead, he took the money, but he also didn't need it. He was just like this Rabbi Chama, that he took the tztaka money, but he would, though, give it out to all the other people. They were embarrassed to come to the tztaka. People are embarrassed to go to the tztaka fund and say, I'm in need. But when they took it from this Rabbi Zechariah, so that wasn't embarrassing for them. So everybody was making fun of this Rabbi Zechariah for taking tztaka money when he didn't need it, when in fact he wasn't taking the tztaka money for himself, but he was going and distributing it as a matan beseser to the poor people in the most b'chavadik way. Similarly, Rabbi Chinina bar Papa have a maflig mitzvah belelya. He would go and give out the mitzvah, which means the tztaka funds, he would go give them out at night. Again, the Tiklin Charitin says, Mishum matem beseser, shul levayish amakabim, because nobody would see that he was giving them money, because it was done at night, and therefore the people would take it. And this was done at nighttime. This is what Rabbi Chinina did. Now, one time, Chatzman Pagabe Ravon de Ruchaya, he met up with the Rebbe of the spirits, of the Ruchim, of the Shadim. And this Shade was very upset. The Ruchinina was walking around at night. That was their domain, that was their time. And Amalei, so this Shade, this Ravon de Ruchaya, said to Rabbi Chinina, he says, Lo Kain Alfon, didn't you yourself teach us, Rebbe? He called him Rebbe. He understood he was a great Talmud Chacham. Didn't you teach us? Lo sasig v'reicha. There is an isser in going and encroaching on your neighbor's property. So you're encroaching on my property. The nighttime is mine. And you're not going to come and bother us at night. So Rav Chinina says, Lo ken ksiv, but doesn't it also say, Matan b'seser yich pe'af? So the pasuk from Mishlei tells us that when a person gives a matan b'seser, he does it privately, so then he does it discreetly, that's going to go and Yichpe means to literally overturn af. Af is anger. Af is also the name of various shadim. So in other words, you better be care of me, beware of me. As the Tiklin Charitin says, Shluchei mitzvah and a nizakin. I'm doing a mitzvah, you're giving matan b'seser, great, great mitzvah, so I have a certain level of protection, and you can't harm me. And in fact, this shade got so scared, he was afraid now of Rabbi Chinina, that Rabbi Chinina would hurt him, v'arak min kumi, and he ran away from him. Amar Rabbi Yona said, Ashri nosin ladol, the pasuk doesn't say praiseworthy is the one that gives to the poor person. It doesn't say ashrei nosin ladol. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says in Tehillim, ella ashrei maskil eldol, the one who does it with seichel, the one who does it very smartly and takes care of the needs of the dal. What does that mean? Seishu mistako b'mitzvah, the person who looks at the mitzvah giving tztaka, heichlasose, in order to do it in the most opportune way, not to embarrass the poor person. So how would people do this? So we have here the Gersa Ketzer Rabbi Yochanan, that's in parentheses, so we don't read the word Yochanan, it really was Rav Yona Osa. So an example of how to do tztaka right was what Rav Yona did. Kishaya Roe Ani Ben Tovim, Shirad Min Chosav, when he saw a person who was from a high family, a high quality family, and Nebuch, they lost their money. So this was a person who was normally a person who would give tztaka, for example, and now he's Nebuch taking tztaka. He lost his property. So Hay Omelo, so Rav Yona would go to this person and say, Bini, my son, Bishvil Shishamati Shinof L'cho Yerusha Mimokom Acher, I heard that you are going to get this Yerusha that came from a distant relative of yours. So you're actually a rich person again. You haven't lost your money. And therefore, things are good for you right now. But I know you're not liquid. You don't have a lot of cash right now. Toll, take this, the atpare, and you'll pay me back because I know you got this windfall Yerusha coming in. So the poor person would now take it because this was a loan, a business type of a loan, and he wasn't embarrassed to take it. Once he took the money, min dahava nosiv, after the poor person took the money, so Rav Yona would tell him, hava omalei, matana hiloch, you don't have to pay me back. Don't worry about it. Similarly, chiyah bar adah, is havasobin biyomeinon. He said, in our days, the way the people who were great tzaddikim, this is the way they would act. These elders, sovin, these older people in our generation, man dahavi yoev lohon mibein reish shata letzoma rabba. If a person were to offer them tzedakah money, they were poor people, these older great people, and if a person were to offer them tzedakah money, between Mibain Reishata from the start of the year, Rosh Hashanah, Latzoma Rabbah to the great Tzom, to Yom Kippur, Havu Nosbin. They would go and accept the tzedakah money then. However, Min Basar Kain after Yom Kippur, Lo Havun Nasun. They would no longer take tzedakah money. Why? They said, Armin, the Shatun Gabon. We already have all the money that we need for the year. On Rosh Hashanah, during the period of time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, every person is decreed how much money they're going to make that year. So if I take tzedakah money from you, it's only going to come out of my other pocket. I've been decreed. I'm going to make $100 this year, $1,000 this year. So therefore, I don't have to take tzedakah money for you. God has already promised me. So why should I go and demean myself, so to say, to take your tzedakah money? I'm going to get it anyway. God's going to figure out a way to give it to me. I don't have to go and take your tzedakah money. As the Tikkun Chatan says, the Gir says HaYerushalmi over here is Kol Mezon Osav Shel Odom Kitzuvim BeRosh Hashanah Ad Yom Kippurim. That the amount of money that a person is going to make, his salary for that year, is designated between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. For your dietum is there, and therefore they said Shemin Rosh Hashanah V'Yad Yom Kippurim Who cuts us mizonam l'chol Hashanah. So it would be decided how much they would make. So it wasn't decided yet up until Yom Kippur, and therefore l'chein ad Yom Kippurim. What they're taking now is considered extra because maybe that wasn't included in the amount that they would get. So how you know? Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they would take Shaddai lo nitzav lehem b'morom. It wasn't decreed upon them yet in Shemayim, and therefore Birshus b'yodim l'tol. They can now go take between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because that was extra. That was like bonus money. Ma'ashein kinachay Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, shekar nitzav lehem parnasasam. Their amount that they would make for that year was already decreed. Akol shana from the entire year. Mehaseba shoyah b'yodim. So whatever they had in their hands, they would have. Lo yirotzim l'tol. They didn't want to take any extra because they would say, "Zeh d'shata gabon shekol shana etzleinu kvar," because we already have it. So if we take from you, we're going to actually decrease what we'll get from someplace else. So why should I bother taking from you? Another story. Now here we're going to have two famous stories. When Nebuch, a poor person, didn't get immediate relief, and in Nebuch, it ended up very bad. So Nehemiah Ish Shichin, there was this person, Nehemiah, who was a digger of wells. And he would dig pits. Pogabo Yerushalmi Echad Nebuch, there was a very poor person who met up with him. Amale, so this poor person said, this Yerushalmi, said to Nehemiah, Zechei imi choda tarnagolta, do a zechus with me, partake with me in this zechus of getting me a tarnagolus. What does it mean to partake with me? So, the very beautiful lashon over here that the Tikkun Chatan says, I say imi tztaka. You'll see that you think you're doing me a favor by giving me tzedakah. You're actually doing yourself a favor. You're getting the zchus. That when you're giving me tzedakah, that's a great benefit for you. So he said, do a taiva for yourself. Have the zchus with me. I'm causing you to give tzedakah. So sharing this zchus with me. That's what he told him. And buy for me a tarnagolta. Now, a tarnagolta was a fancier type of a dish, which cost a lot of money. So Amalei, so Nehemiah told this Yerushalmi, this poor Yerushalmi, he told him, Ha loch to mise de kupat. Why are you spending all this money on a tarnagolta? Instead, buy meat, the kupat, which was actually less expensive. So here's enough money to buy yourself a roast beef sandwich, or why you want pheasant on the glass. So instead of me giving you $100 for the pheasant, here's $50 for the meat. That's what the poor person did. This Yerushalmi guy did it. Vizovin kupad. This poor Yerushalmi guy bought this kupad, this meat. V'achil, he ate it, but he wasn't used to it. Umis, he died. That's what the Korban Eda says. She'ilu nasen lo basar tanagolus, she'yorogibo yochai. That his stomach was used to eating this fancy meat for whatever the reason, and therefore when he had this inferior meat, he actually couldn't tolerate it, and he died. Nehemiah was very upset when he saw what happened. He thought he was doing a good thing. And he cried out for Omer and he said, Bo, v'siftu, everybody come and make a hesped la'rugo shel Nehemiah for this person that was Nebuch killed by Nehemiah. We learn a very important din from here, that if a person is a wealthy person and Nebuch loses his money, you have to give him stock in the style that he was used to. If he's used to having fancy, expensive tastes in food, so then the stock that you give him is not the same stock as you give to a poor person that's not used to having this pheasant under glass. And that's what you're mechuyev to give him, rather than giving him the inferior meat that Nehemiah Ish Shrichin gave him. Now we have an even more sad story. This is a famous story we find in the Bavli as well. Nochem Ish Gamzu Hoya Molech Doron LeBeis Chomov. Nochem Ish Gamzu was on the way going to his father-in-law's house to give him a present. Now, the Tikkun Charetin says that this is a slightly different version that was mentioned in the Gemara in Tainus in the Bavli on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. And the Tikkun Charetin writes, the Khan, the Girsa that we have here in the Shkolim, in the Yerushalmi, Yoser Meduk Dekis is the more correct version. I'll try to point out some slight differences between the two. So the Davka is telling us here that he's going to his father-in-law, so he's doing a mitzvah to go visit his father and give his father-in-law a present. And therefore, this is a very important part of the story. And the Tikkun Charetin says he brought him a great gift. And the Tikkun Charetin says, in the Bavli version, Mefurish, Maso Gimel Charom, he gave him 3 donkeys worth of Meichel, Umishte, Umigodim, of food and drink and all sorts of delicacies. So that's who he's rushing to go to his father-in-law. Paul Gabo, Mukoshchin Echon, he meets up with this person who's a Mukoshchin. He has certain type of illness, boils all over his skin, and he was a sick person. Amalei, so this poor person said to Nochem Ish Gamzu, Sechayimi, again this beautiful Lashon of, do yourself a taiva, do this chus with me, Mimad Is Gabach, you have all this food with you, so give me some. Now, the version of the Bavli is, that he says to him, sure, just hold on and let me go and get it. And he has to go and unpack it. And in the meanwhile, he dies while he's unpacking it. The gear so here in the Yerushalmi is Amalei. Nochem tells him, Mechzer, I'm on my way to do a mitzvah. The Tikkun Charetin says that Nochem Ish Gamzu did not think he looked sick enough that he wouldn't be around and alive in an hour when he gets back from his father-in-law, and he'll give him the money then. So he says, Mechzer, I'll be here soon, I'll return to you soon, and I'll give it to you then. Chazar, he comes back, after he gives off the present to his father-in-law, and he comes back, and he sees that he died. In the Bavli version, he goes to get his food from the back of his wagon, and by the time he brings the food to the poor person never died. Both stories, the Bavli and the Shami, basically, Nochem Ish Gamzu took this very, very, very hard. And he took it personally that he wasn't attentive enough to either the needs of the poor person, that he should have, according to the Bavli version, he should have had food ready, right next to him, in case a poor person comes up to him, he shouldn't have to delay and unpack his stuff. Or, according to our version here in the Shkolim, he should have realized how sick he was. He made the mistake of not analyzing it properly, and therefore he should have given him the food right then and there instead of waiting to go to his father-in-law and then come back. So Nochem Ish Gamzu said to Nebuch, this dead person in front of him, my eyes that saw you, and didn't go and act with enough alacrity to you and take care of you, they should become blinded. Yidei, my hands, lo poshtun, that they didn't go stick out my hands to give you tzedakah, mitan loch yiskatun, to give you tzedakah money, so they should be cut off. And my feet that didn't run to go and give you the food, yitavrun, they should break. Umatzei kein. That's the way it exactly happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to him. Again, Tzadikim are judged B'chut HaSara and Nochem Ish Gamzu. He's famous for saying that Gamzu L'tova, Gamzu L'tova. That's one of the reasons it's called Nochem Ish Gamzu. Although he actually came from a place called Gimzu, and his real name was probably Nochem Gimzu, but they changed it around and said Nochem Ish Gamzu. He was the man that always said Gamzu L'tova, Gamzu L'tova. And he was a Rebbe of Rebbe Akiva. Saluk L'Gabi Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva went to visit his Rebbe. And Amalei, Rabbi Kiva saw Nochem Ish Gamzu in this horrible condition. He says, Oy Li, whoa, it's to me, Shani Ro, so bechach, that I see you in this very, very, very sad state. And Amalei, Nochem Ish Gamzu says back to him, Oy Li, Shein Ani Ro, Ozcho bechach, it's woe to me that I'm blind. I won't see you in such a state as well. Now this was a little bit of a shock to Rabbi Kiva, who says, why are you cursing me? Amalei, Mayat Mekalalani, why are you cursing me that I should be like this? So Nochem Ish Gamzu tells him a great idea. And he says, Amalei, Uma'at Mavayit Yisurim, if HaKadosh Baruch gives you Yisurim, so you accept them, be Ava. And therefore, this Yisurim that are upon me, I accept with full Ava. I take the consequences of my acts, and I accept them, be Ava. And ultimately, Rabbi Akiva, also Nebuch, ended up having tremendous suffering. These are things that are very difficult for us to understand. We, Paskin, Halacha L'maisa, don't ask for suffering. You shouldn't ask for the suffering and all the reward that comes with the suffering. But when suffering comes, a person should accept the Yisurim bi'ahava. Gemara now tells us another story. Rabbi Yoshaya Rabba, the great Rabbi Yoshaya, Havi Rabbe Debre Chad Sagi Nahora, that he had a Rebbe of his son who was a blind person. Sagi Nahora is a euphemism that we use. It's a lot of light. It means that he's blind. So his son's Rebbe was a blind person, and Rebbe Hoshaya Rabbah would give him tremendous kavod. And in order to give him honor for teaching his son, so he would eat with him every day. One time, Rebbe Hoshaya Rabbah had orchim, and wasn't able to go and eat with his son's Rebbe. So afterwards, beramsha, that means in the evening. We say when Shabbos and Zmir, it's tzapra v'ramsha. So tzapra means the morning, and ramsha means the evening. Beramsha, tzolik legabe, he went up to the Rebbe of his son, the blind Rebbe, and he apologized to him. And Amalei, he said to him, lo yichus morilai, please don't be mad at me. Begin the havali orchin yomadein, I had some guests today, and I wasn't able to come and eat with you. The armist, the lowly vazuye, bikara, the mori yomundane, because they might not have treated a blind person with the proper cover that you should have. And therefore, I didn't get a chance to go and eat with you today, so therefore, please forgive me. Begin kain, lo ochlis im mori yomundane. That's why I didn't eat with you today. Now, this blind person was so impressed with the way Rav Hoshaya Rabbah treated with such great dignity. Amalei, so the blind Rebbe said to Rav Hoshaya Rabbah, Ato paiste leman de mischame velochame, you have appeased me, you have made me feel good. The one, leman de mischame, the one who is able to be seen, but velochame, but can't see. I'm a blind person. You can see me, but I can't see you. So my bracha to you is dein de chame, the one who sees, velo mischameim, and isn't able to be seen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yekabel Piyusach. He should also appease you. He should accept all the things that you do, just like you were treating me so generously. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should treat you generously. Now, this was a beautiful way that he explained his bracha. He said, I can't see, but you can see me, so the one who you can't see but can see you should give you a bracha. Rav Hoshaya Rabbah was very impressed with this. Amalei, Hado Amino Aloch, where did you hear this bracha? It's a beautiful bracha. So Amalei, so the blind Rebbe told him, I heard this from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Listen to this story. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Oal Chad, the Sagi Nahora Lekarte, once a blind person, a Sagi Nor, came to his shtot, to his city, where Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was the leader. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov specifically sat down near the blind person in the inferior position. Normally, the Talmid Chacham sits on the top, and the Talmidim, or the servants, sit below him. So Yosali Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, l'ramine, he took the inferior position, sitting underneath, below the blind person. The Abram, and all the people would see this, and they say, whoa, if our Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, is taking the inferior position to this blind person, this guy must be something special. The Lule, the Haba Bar Nasha Rabbah, whoa, this blind person must be really, really important, and therefore, Lo Yosef Le, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, L'Ramine, it must be, that's why he's sitting below him. So all the Parnosa the Ikra, he was a poor person, he was collecting stuff, because everybody gave him a much, much larger donation than they would have otherwise given him. The poor person recognized this. Omar alone, he said, Mahu Hakim, what's going on over here? How come I made so much money? Why is everybody giving me such a large amount of money? It's much more than I normally make. So Omar late. So the people told him, you didn't realize it, but Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who is the Rav of the town, Yosef Leraminoch, he sat in the inferior position to you. And everybody thought that you obviously are a great person, that our Rav is sitting below you. And therefore, the blind person gave Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov this great bracha that in the previous story, the blind Rebbe had given to Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbah. And he told him, this blind person in this story now tells Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Ato gamalto chesed, you gave me a tremendous chesed by sitting below me, so everybody gave me a tremendous amount of tzedakah. So you gave this chesed leman de mischame, who can be seen, velo chame, but cannot see. So my bracha to you is dein de chame, the one that can see, velo mischame, but can't be seen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yigmol yosok chesed. He should give you a tremendous gemilas chesed as well. Now, the next word we have in parentheses is duloma or dolma. The Korban Eda says that this means a maisa. Okay, so it's a story, another story. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, Rabbi Hoshaya, again, some have the gifts of Rabbah over here, where it's the same Rabbi Hoshaya as before. In any event, Rabbi Chama bar Chanina and Rabbi Hoshaya, Rabbah, Havu Metailin B'Ilein Kenishta de Lod, were once walking in this area where there was a great base Knesset in Lod. Amar Rechama bar Chanina, Rabbi Hoshaya. So Rechama bar Chanina was extolling to Rabbi Hoshaya, Rabbah, Kama Mamon Shiku Avosaikan. Look how great my fathers, how much money they put into making this beautiful shul over here. In other words, they were big donors to this shul. Rav Hoshaya Rabbah was not happy. Amalei, he says, Kama Nefashu Shiku Avosaikan. Lo Habe Is b'nei nash dilon d'oraisa? Look how much money they wasted over here. Look how many people they buried over here. Because how many talmidei chachamim weren't able to be supported and couldn't sit and learn and instead had to go off and do business and they lost their huge zechus. So look how many people who were buried over here that weren't able to go learn because of the extravagances that you made in making a beautiful shul but not supporting talmidei chachamim. Likewise, Rabbi Ovin Ovad Elaine Taraya. Rabbi Ovin gave a lot of money to Tztaka in order to build these beautiful Taraya. These are gates, Shar and Tar. The Shin and the Tuf are interchangeable. So they built these beautiful gates. They gave a lot of Tztaka money to give these gates. We turn to Tesvav on the base. And this was used for the Sidra Rabbah. This was for the great shul, the great base Knesset, the great academy that they had over there in that area. Also, Rabbi Mona Legabe, Rabbi Mona came to him and said, Amale, Rabbi Von said to him, Chame Mai Ovitz, do you see what we did over here? Isn't this beautiful? But Rabbi Mona was not impressed. Amale, by Yishkach Yisrael Soseyu, by Yiven Hecholos, Klai Yisrael forgot who was their creator, and they built buildings. In other words, Lohava B'nei Nash, Dilom B'Araisa, all the money that you spent on this get, you could have supported a lot of people in Kolo, you could have supported a lot of people learning Torah, and instead, you built a gate. So, this is the incorrect and inappropriate way to spend your money. When you have a choice between supporting Talmidei Chachamim or building a structure, you always support the Talmidei Chachamim. Of course, it's wonderful. You can do both. Shul should look nice. Shul, Beis Medrash, should look nice. But it's much more important to support the Talmidei Chachamim than it is to support a building or a structure. Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Kochi HaMizbeach, Motzin is a royal hen, Mikochi Berek HaBayis. If the funds for the Kochi HaMizbeach aren't sufficient, so then they're allowed to take funds from Berek HaBayis funds and use them for korbanos. On the other hand, Ein Kochi Berek HaBayis, Motzian is a royal hem, Mikochi Mizbeach. But if you don't have enough funds for the upkeep, so you're not allowed to take Kochi Mizbeach funds and use them for Berek HaBayis. Adimor says, Vortaninan, we didn't seem to learn that from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said when they had the Lishkas Kalim, Kli Shematsu Bo, if they were to find in the Lishkas Kalim a utensil, so if they had a tzorech for it, Kli Shematsu Bo tzorech lebedek habayis, so they would use it for bedek habayis, and they would sell the rest, Vasharinim Karim, and it said, Utimeim Nothlan lebedek habayis, and they would use the funds for bedek habayis. They would not use it for Kochi Mizbeach. So that seems to go against what you just said, that bedek habayis funds could be used for Kochi Mizbeach. So Gemara answers, Amar Rechizki. Rechizki says, Kaini Mastisa. No, our Mishnah is correct. When the Mishnah says that these Kalim were used for Berek HaBayis, it meant, L'tzorech, L'lishkas Berek HaBayis. They would use it for whatever the Berek HaBayis needs were. They were just speaking of the usual case, that they would normally use it for Lishkas Berek HaBayis. But if there was a need for the Berek HaBayis funds to be used for the Kochi Mizbeach, so they could actually use it for that. They were just telling us the typical case that these funds were put back into the kitty for Berek HaBayis. But it doesn't imply that Berek HaBayis funds could not be used for Kochi Mizbeach if they needed it, if there were insufficient funds in the Kochi Mizbeach. With this, we conclude the fifth perek. Hadron Lecha Elohein HaMemunim, Hadron Lecha Elohein HaMemunim, Hadron Lecha Elohein HaMemunim. And we begin the sixth parak. Halacha Aleph. The Mishnah begins. Shlosh also shofros. There were 13 shofar-like containers. These were basically tztaka containers that they use in the base of Mikdash. The Gemara will explain this, but you see it over here already in the Tiklan Chadatin, that these were tevos soros milamala. They were narrow at the top, rechavos milamata, and wide at the bottom, the akumos kishofar, and they were bent like a shofar, as the Gemara will explain, so people could only put in their money, but they wouldn't be able to steal any of the tztaka funds from inside. You can drop a coin in, but it's very difficult to take the coins out. The only way you can take the coins out is if you lift up the basket, this collection box, and you turn it over and pour the coins out, and that would cause a tremendous amount of attention. So therefore, you can only put in easily and not take it out. So people couldn't steal from there. So shlosh asar shofros, with 13 of these collection boxes, shlosh asar shofros, the mikdash also had 13 tables, and there were 13 places that they would bend down and bow in the base of Mikdash, Hayu B'Mikdash. Now, we'll explain this all in the Gemara. Opinion, however, Shobes Rabban Gamliel, Shobes Rabbi Chananya, Skana Kohanim, they disagreed and they said that there were 14 places you bowed down. Hayu Mishtachim, the Arba Esrei places, not 13. Where was the extra 14th one? The Gemara will explain what the others were, but where was the 14th one? Be'echon Yisera. Where was the extra one? Kineged Dira Eitzim. This was in the Lishka known as Dira Eitzim, the place where they had wood. The Tiklan Chadatin tells Lishka Shabbat Yunosnim Kol Asya Marocha. This is where we placed the wood to go burn on the Mizbeach. V'yosav b'miktsoa, and it was located Mizrachis Sophonis, in the northeastern corner Shel Ezros Noshim, in the Ezros Noshim outside the Azar, and that's where the 14th bowing was. Why? Because she came Masoris Biyodin, that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Chananya Skana Kohanim had a Masorah from their parents. The other may have saying they had this mesorah shesham ha'aron nignas, when Yoshio hid the aron towards the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, he hid it over there in that area of the Dira Eitzim, and therefore they would bow down there, bowing down towards the aron that was hidden there. Maisa shaya, maisa b'koinech shoyi misasek. Once was a certain Kohen that was misasik over there in this Lishkas Dir HaEitzim. He was either doing appropriate work, or some say he was doing inappropriate work. In any event, and he saw that the tiles on the ground over here were a little bit raised. The rock over here was a little bit raised. It was different in some way than the surrounding floor around it, as if it had been pulled up and then put back down. Bavi HaMachveri quickly went over to tell one of his friends, hey, this is something unusual here, and he was about to tell him, I think this is where the Aron is hidden, lo hispik ligmor is a dover, and he didn't have a chance to finish off his statement, so until HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed him, his soul was taken from him, for, again, not revealing the secret that wasn't supposed to be revealed. The Yadu b'yichud, and they knew for certain, shesham ha'aron gadnus, and now they knew for certain that that's where the Aron was hidden. That's what this Mishnah tells us. Boris Dotson says, Tani, learning a braisa, Shofars halalu akumos hayu. These shofars were bent, they were slanted. Tsarus milamalon, they were very, very narrow at the top, and ruchavos, and very wide milamat at the bottom, so the cheaters wouldn't be able to stick their hands in there and take out funds. But you can only put in funds and not take them out, as I explained. Then we continue, Tony, we learn another brice. B'shem Rabbi Lezer, it says the name of Rabbi Lezer, Aron Goli Molababel. Rabbi Elazar's opinion was that the Aron was not hidden underneath by Yoshio in the Beis HaMikdash, but it went with them into Babel. The Nebuch was taken by Nebuchadnezzar into Golos Babel. Matam, where does he base this upon? Because the Pasuk says, and the whole Pasuk is, Hine yamim boim, the Nisa kol asher beveisecha, v'asher otru avosecha, ad hayom hazeh, Babel. Everything that you have here is taken into Babel, and it says, and here's where Agamara picks up, Lo yivoser dover om Hashem. Nothing will be left. Now, in the beginning of the Pasuk, it said, everything will be taken. So, ain dover, what does it mean when there's nothing left? This dover that's left, Lo yivoser dover, is a reference to Ella shehadibros lesocho. This is telling us that the Aron went as well. Nebuchadnezzar, Yimach Shemo v'Zichro, took everything, including the Aron. V'chein Omer, and likewise it says in the Pasuk, L'tshuva sashono sholach ha-melech Nebuchadnezzar v'yivyehu bavelo im klei chemdas beis Hashem. He took everything when Yochin was Nigla, along with the Cheresh and the Masker, 11 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so he took everything down, including the Chemdas Beis Hashem. Eze kli chemdas beis Hashem. What are these kelim? This is a reference to the Aron. On the other hand, you have a different opinion. Now, the Gersa that we have is Tani Rebbe Yehuda Bar Eloi Rebbe Shimon ben Lachish Omer. Now, that's incorrect because Rebbe Shimon Lachish is an Amora and Rebbe Yehuda Bar Eloi is a Tana. So it doesn't make any sense that a Tana would say something in the name of an Amora. So the more correct Gersa over here should be Tani Rebbe Yehuda ben Lachish. This is not Reish Lakish, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Or others just have the gear, so Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. In any event, they hold that the Aron was hidden in its place, not in the Lishkas Dira Eitzim, but it was placed underneath the Kodesh Kodashim. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says, Vayarichu Habadim, that the Badim, the poles of the Aron, could be seen, Vayiro. Rashi Abadim, now the Gersa that we have is wrong. It says El HaKodesh, it should be Min HaKodesh, and the Gersa we have is El, it should be Al Pnei HaDevir V'Loi Ro Chutzah. That it was there to this very day. The end of the Pasuk is critical, and the Groh fills in the end of the Pasuk, and the Groh tells us, Uksiv V'Yu Shom Ad HaYom HaZeh. He adds on the critical part, which is in the Pasuk, that's there to this very day, which whenever you're reading it, it means right now, it's still there, and it was hidden underneath the Kodesh Kodashim. Now, this Pasuk is internally inconsistent. We have the word vayiro twice in this pasuk. It says vayiro, and then it says veloyiro. They were able to see it, but they couldn't see it. So what's going on? Say vayiro, and then it says v'at armis veloyiro. So could they see it or not? Elonirin velonirin. It means that it was able to be seen, but not able to be seen. What does that mean? That the aron had poles in it, and bolted. They pushed against the curtains. V'yotzin kishnei dada isha, and they pressed out. So when you're looking from the outside, from the Kodesh towards the Kodesh Kodashim, you can see the poles pressing against the curtain like a woman's breast pressing outward against her clothing. So you can see the protrusions, so too the poles of the Aron were pushing out against the curtain, but you couldn't see the Aron, but you could see the pushing out. Okay. Now we have the third opinion. We had the first two opinions. One, that it was taken into Golos with the Vuchanetza. Then it was that it was Nignaz underneath the Kodesh Kodashim. And then we finally get to the opinion of our Mishnah. Rabbanan Amre, Belishkas Dira Eitzim Hoya Aron Gonos, that Yoshio hid it not underneath the base of Mikdash, proper underneath the Kodesh Kodashim, but he hid it in the Lishkas Dir Ha Eitzim. Now, where is that from? Ma'isim Koy Nechad, Balmum. We have the story in our Gemara. Similar parallels the story that we had in the Mishnah. There was a Kohen, and he was a Baal Mum, that's why he wasn't doing the Avodah, so he was in charge of making sure that the wood didn't have worms in it. So he was delousing the wood. He was chopping up the wood in a way that would make sure that it didn't have any worms in it. She all made him a Fatzel Eitzim, but Lishkas Dira Eitzim, and that's what he was doing. He was standing there in Lishkas Dira Eitzim, peeling the wood. But Roh, as a Ritzbo, he sees the floor, she Mishtana Michavrusa, he sees something different about this floor. It's raised in some way as if the floor had been taken up and then put back down. So quickly, Bov Amel Haberi wants to tell his friend what's going on. He says, hey, look, this floor is a little bit different. And he's going to tell him, Mistama, that I think this is where the Arun is Nignas. He didn't get the chance to finish his words. Goshbachu took away his soul. They knew for certain. That's how they knew that the Arun was over there. Tani, Mishum Rabbi Yoshaya, we learn in the name of Rabbi Yoshaya, others just have the gear. So Tani, Rabbi Yoshaya, if you have the word Mishum in parentheses, you don't read it. So Rabbi Yoshaya learned, Hey Kishal Abakarnus, he smashed on this floor with a hammer to go to put it back into a place, Biyotza Eshus Rafato. But this was not a Bechavadika thing to do, and a fire came out and it burned him up. Tani, we learn in another Braisa, again, we have Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, the gears that we have, Ben Lakish, Omer, but the more correct gears is Rabbi Yehuda Ben Lakish. Again, there seems to be a jumble in a lot of the Yerushalmis of the names. It wasn't redacted as well as we used to in the Babli. In any event, he says, Shnei Aronos Hayom Halkim Yisov Midbar. There are actually two Arons, the one that had the original Luchos that were broken, and then the second Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down. So there were two Arons, each containing a different set of Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos and the real Luchos. That's the gears that we have. But the Vilna Gaon says it should be Haluchos Nesun Besocho. The Echoshay Yoshivri Luchos Nesun Besocho. And the other one had the first Luchos that were broken inside of it. Or the gears of the Groa, Zeshay Luchos Nesun Besocho, the Arun that had the real Luchos in it, Hayimunach Beomoid, that stayed in the Olamoid. And that's what the pasuk means when it tells us they never moved from there. It stayed there at all times. The Arun didn't move from the Mishkan. But the other Arun that had the broken first luchos that were brought down, the shivri luchos in it, that would go in and out with them whenever they would go out to battle, whenever they would travel. And sometimes it was with them. Now, this last statement is a little bit problematic because we just said, Nichlos v'yotze, and now you're telling me sometimes it went out. So many are not goris, the words over here, Upapamim, Shoyim, Misra, Imam, it's a mistake. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. V'rabbanan Amrei, however, the Chachamim say, Aron Echad Hayah. No, there weren't two Arons. There was one Aron, and it had within it the new second Luchos, as well as the Shivrei Luchos. Aron Echad Hayah. Upam Achas, and only one time Yotzevi Mei Eli. During the days of Eli, it went out to the battle against the Plishtim, the Nishba, and it was actually taken by the Plishtim and captured. And then we have the whole Maisa, that the Plishtim, a lot of bad things happened to them, and they eventually sent it back on its own, and it came back on its own, and it stayed in the place that it went to, in Kiryas Yaarim, up until the time that David HaMelech purchased the land for the Beis HaMikdash and collected all the things for the Beis HaMikdash, which his son Shlomo would build. So that's when they brought the Arim to Yerushalayim. Kaya Messiah Lila Rabbanon. There's a pasuk that supports with this version of the Chacham that it was only one Aron, because it says Oylanu. The Plishtim said, "Woe is to us! Miatzileinu miyad Elokim ha'adirim ha'ela. Who's going to save us from this God?" They saw that the Aron was taken out. They thought that was God Kaviyachol coming out. Milo delo chamon min yomein. They never seen this previously. In other words, that this normally didn't go out with them. So this was an unusual situation. However, there's also a pasuk to support the first version. Kaya Masayla Rehuda ben Lakish. And here we have directly, it says Rehuda ben Lakish and not Rehuda bar Eloi ben Lakish. In any event, I'll have a pasuk to support his version that there were two separate luchos. Because the pasuk says, Vayom Shol Lachia, Shol Setu Achia, Hagisho Aron Olkim, go bring over here the Aron Kodesh. Valo Aron Bekiris Yarmayah. He says, wait a second, the Aron was in Kiryas Yarm at that time. As I said, that came back from the Plishtim, was put in Kiryas Yarm. So obviously there are two Arons, one in Kiryas Yarm and one over here. So that's their proof that Rav Yehuda ben Lakish is correct. No, what would the Chachamim do with that pasuk? It sounds like Yehuda ben Lachish is correct. Ma'avdun le'rabbanon, how would they understand this pasuk? So they would explain it. Shaul said to Achia, Hagish elai hatzitz. No, he wasn't saying bring me the Aron, he was saying bring me the tzitz. He needed to speak to the Urim v'tumim. He needed to go and figure out what's going on. So he just needed the tzitz, but he didn't need the Aron. Karya Messiah Rav Yehuda bar Eloi ben Lachish. Again, here we have another pasuk that supports Rav Yehuda ben Lachish. This pasuk says, Aron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda Yoshvin is the gear that we have, but it should be Yoshvin Basukos. It says that the Aron was in Sukkos. Now, that implies that there was only one Aron. It wasn't in Kiryas Yearim. It wasn't anyplace else. It was in the battlefield. It was in Sukkos where they were fighting. But the Aron at this point wasn't in Kiryas Yearim. This was already afterwards. This was now in Yerushalayim. So it must be that the Aron was in Yerushalayim, and this was the other Aron. So this supports the opinion that there were two Aronos. So ma'avdin le'rabbanon. So the Chacham will say there's only one Aron. What do they do with this pasuk? So they say sechach shuv kikeroy. Don't read it. It was in a place called Sukkos. No, it was sechach shuv kikeroy. It was in a place that was a temporary place. It wasn't yet in the Beis Hamikdash. Shadayil near the Beis Habechira. The Beis Hamikdash wasn't yet built, so it was in a temporary location, just like a sukkah is a temporary type of a dwelling. So therefore, the sechach that the Sukkos, it was shuv kikeroy. It was like a ceiling for it, and therefore it means that it just wasn't in the Beis Hamikdash, but it wasn't out with them in the battlefield. With this, we conclude today's shiur.